Are you appreciating your children? I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. This broadcast comes to you every week at this time over the station. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray for thy divine anointing on thy precious word today. Amen. Our text is from the Gospel of Mark, the 10th chapter. It says here, "And they brought young children to him," that is to Jesus, "that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, and put his hands upon them, and blessed them." Now, let's look at verse 13 again. It says, "And they brought young children unto him." Now, Luke, who was a medical doctor, was more accurate than that, as doctors are, when it comes to describing physical things. So Luke is telling us in his gospel about the story that these little children were babes or sucklings. Now, the average male, whatever that is, or whoever that is, may actually enjoy the presence of a suckling, a little infant, for a little while, but generally not for too long. We men associate babies with diapers and screams and certain odors, while you women hardly look at these things as problems. But to us men, these are immense problems that we are not too well adapted to, with the ease with which women handle these things. I can see a mother passing a baby in the arms of another mother or daughter, and for them it's a marvelous experience. They like to hold babies. But there's something risky and unpredictable when women place their little ones, these little bundles, into the arms of men. You just don't know, you know, what may happen. Men always want to know ahead of time what's going to happen. Well, we men never know what's going to happen when a baby is placed into our arms. And so I want you to see from this that these young disciples, none of them were probably fathers by now, or as yet, when they rebuked the mothers and told them, "Get away from Jesus, take your babies home," they acted quite naturally, as men would act under those circumstances. They tried to protect Jesus from the unpredictable and from these mothers with babies taking Jesus off to a rather trivial, unpredictable event. Then, they didn't want Jesus to get engaged in this baby stuff. They felt there were more important things to do. After all, we're dealing here with the kingdom of God. And so the disciples rebuked the parents and endeavored to send them away. Now, let's consider why those parents brought these children to Jesus in the first place, these sucklings. They brought them to Jesus that he would touch them, that Jesus would receive them and bless them and anoint them, because they realized that the blessing, the anointing that would come from Jesus, was the best thing that they could possibly do for their little ones, to give them a good start to become men and women of God. They realized that bringing these little children to Jesus at an older age was losing precious time. They wanted a glorious beginning for their children. They wanted a holy beginning for their children. They believed that Jesus, if he would be employed early in their lives, it would make a world of difference for these little ones. There are many who say, let the child grow up, and when he's old enough, he can make up his own intelligent decision whether he wants Jesus or not. Oh, what a sad thing that is. Just recently, I watched a television documentary called The Fight of Faith. It was aired by CNN, and they picked a family that they considered a typical evangelical family in the United States. And this family had these two children. After a little while, the journalist asked the boy, who was 13 or so, when he was born again. And the boy said, I was born again at 8 years of age. And then they turned to this little 7-year-old red-headed sister. And the journalist said, now, when did you get born again? And the little girl said, at 3 years of age. Wildly alarmed, the journalist said, how could you understand enough about Christianity at 3 years to make such a momentous decision? And the little red-haired responded self-assuredly, saying, There is not much you have to understand to receive Jesus. All you need to know is that you're a sinner and Jesus is a Savior. Oh, my friends, I say hallelujah to that. That was on national TV and I liked it. These parents brought their children under the influence of Jesus from day one. And I'll tell you, my friends, this cannot be done early enough. How dare you? If you know that Jesus is the Savior of the world, how dare you let your children go without the influence of Jesus in their lives in the formative years of their existence through elementary and high school? Oh, my dear ones, fathers and mothers, you need to bring your children to Jesus as soon as possible. You need to bring them to the house of God to get them under the influence of the work of the Spirit of the living God in their lives as soon as possible. If you don't do so, my friend, Jesus will be just as indignant with you as he was with the disciples when they tried to push away these mothers. You see, the lack of realization what a child is worth connects with the practice of abortion, which is so common in our country. I want you to know that children receive a living soul at conception and not at birth. The incarnation, the life of Jesus, for example, did not begin at birth, but it began at conception. This is why it says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, the angel of the Lord speaking, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." So there's life here of the Holy Ghost, real life, human life of the Holy Ghost, yet not developed, but nonetheless of God. How do we dare destroy that life? A human life is always a life with a soul. There's a beautiful passage in Jeremiah, the first chapter, in verse 5, where God says concerning Jeremiah, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." We asked the women's liberation people, when does life begin? When does an embryo become a living person? Most of them would say, well, at birth. You ask evangelical Christians and say to them, when does life begin? Most of them will say at conception, as I just shared with you. But now, what are we going to do with Jeremiah? What does God say? And what we learn here from the book of Jeremiah is, to God, life begins before conception, because it says here, God speaking to Jeremiah, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." Oh, this is powerful, my friend. The same message comes to us from the book of Ephesians, the first chapter. It says there, concerning God's chosen ones, in verse 4, "According as he," that is Jesus, "has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children." My friend, I want you to know that you existed in the mind of God before the foundation of the world was laid, just like Jeremiah did. God had you on his mind before he created the sun and the moon, before there was day and night. Before that, he had you on his mind. Not only you as a person, but you and your calling. And so God has foreordained and predestined all of us. Now you can see why Jesus said, "Bring the little children unto me, bring the sucklings, bring the babies unto me." You don't know what they're worth, but I do. I already knew them before the foundation of the world, before I created the universe. I already know what they are called in the world for. I have a mission for them. So how, dear mothers, do you dare drop your children off that have this high calling of God beginning before the foundation of the world? How do you dare drop them off at a daycare center and let some stranger take care of them, unless it be in the most dire circumstances? How dare you, fathers, take these little ones, drive them out of your presence when you come home from work and hiding your face behind the Wall Street Journal or sport program on television? You don't know what they're worth, but God knows, and you ought to know. Or can you, husbands, stay home while your wives take these little ones to church? You need to take them to church with the rest of the family and get them under the influence of the one who has great plans for them. Oh, Jesus says, let them come unto me. Let's go to the next verse in Mark 10. And there it says, for such is the kingdom of God. This tells me, my friend, that if you are close to little children, you're close to the kingdom of God. If you go and babysit in a nursery, you are close to the kingdom of God. So what is the nature of the kingdom of God? It is as the nature of a little child. That's what Jesus said. You may be closer to the kingdom of God when you take care of these little babies in a church nursery than you are in some ministers' meetings. If we understand something of the nature of a child, we understand something of the kingdom of God. So what do we understand about the nature of a child? Number one, a little child has intellectual simplicity. There's nothing sophisticated about the way their minds work. There's nothing prideful with them, nothing complex in them. There's nothing about the mind of a child that says, well, now, wait a minute, I don't know whether I want to believe that or not. There's something marvelously simple about a little child. You tell the child something and the child will believe it. Oh, my friend, if you tell this little child there is a Savior, the child will believe it. If you tell the child he's a sinner, the child will know that intuitively. If you tell a little child that he needs to give his heart to Jesus, he will sense a presence, a convincing presence of the Spirit of God, and that child will give his heart to Jesus, as simple as that. Of such is the kingdom of God. We don't receive the kingdom of God, Jesus says, as a little child, we shall not enter it at all. What are, number two, little children like? For such is the kingdom of God. They want to be with their mother and father all the time. They want to be with them physically. They want to be held. They want to be near them. And when these little ones, a year or 2 years old, are taken away and put in a crib, they often cry because they're taken away from mother and father. Of such is the kingdom of God. Yes, when a Christian, my friend, is in his right spirit, is not a backslider, he cannot stand being outside the presence of Jesus. Of such is the kingdom of God. And thirdly, little ones, infants, babies, get all their nourishment from mother. And dear ones, you will not be a candidate for the kingdom of God. You will not remain in the kingdom of God unless you take all your spiritual nourishment from Jesus, unless he becomes your daily bread and water in a spiritual sense. So in closing, my friend, woe unto any one of us if we, my friend, push these little ones away from the Savior. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you will help us to take this message to heart, because it comes from your Son Jesus, who walked on the earth to teach us how to live, how to put things in a proper order in our hearts and minds. Deliver us, O Lord, from pushing our children away. Give us a new vision of their worth, that they have eternal souls and they're prepared to meet Thee, Almighty God. We ask for all this help in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry, and goodbye now until next week.